This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Okay, so we're starting this course. Today is the first day, and we're going to be covering the pillars of faith. The pillars of faith. Who can tell me the pillars of faith? Anybody know the pillars of faith? Even if you don't know all of them, just maybe mention some of them, the ones that you know. Yeah. Okay, fasting comes under the pillars of Islam. Yeah, so we're talking about the pillars of faith. And the pillars of faith, okay, there's six pillars altogether. Yeah, six pillars of faith. And the first pillar is belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. Belief in Allah. So you have six pillars altogether, okay. And those six pillars, the first of which is belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second, okay, and tu'min billah wa malaikatihi, to believe in his angels. Wa kutubihi, the third is his books, to believe in Allah's books. Wa rusulihi, to believe in Allah's messengers, number four. Wal yawmil akhir, number five, to believe in the last day, yet the day of judgment. That's the fifth pillar of iman, the fifth pillar of faith. And the sixth and final pillar, okay, is to believe in predestination, to believe in al-qadr. And that means Allah Azza wa Jal knows everything that's going to take place in the future. He knows what's taken place in the past, what's going to take place in the future. So these are the six pillars that we're going to be going through first. And today, we're going to go through, inshallah, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief in our Lord. Now, why are they called pillars? Anybody know? Why are they known as pillars? Pillars of faith. Just like you have pillars of Islam, pillars of faith. Akhil?
They have the religious conduct.
Excellent, very good. So they help a person's religion stay firm. Just like, for example, you have a house, or you have a masjid, yeah, or you have any other type of building. You have things which support that building, don't you? In a masjid, you have pillars. In a house, you'll have structures that will support that house. So you need to have a strong base, a strong foundation, in order to build your Islam and your religion on that foundation. Just like, for example, anytime a building's built, yeah, they have to dig underneath, don't they? They dig underneath and they make the foundations really strong. And then they build on that. And the higher the building is, the more they have to dig underground, and the more they have to make a stronger foundation in order for the building to stand and to be strong, yeah, and to support itself. The same thing when it comes to our faith and our iman, because iman is something which increases and decreases. And so a person has to have belief in these six pillars, and they strengthen a person's Islam. They make the person's Islam in its core, they make it really strong. Yeah, so it increases a person's faith, and increases strengthens a person's Islam and his iman. Very good. So when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to ask first, who is our Lord? Yeah, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So who can tell me? Who can tell me how we recognize Allah Azza wa Jal? How do we know that there is a God? How do we know that there is a Lord that exists? Sorry? Say again? He created everything. Very good. So Allah Azza wa Jal, okay, is someone who created everything. When it comes to things that have been created, okay, every single thing has a creator. For example, this bottle of water or this bottle of juice. Yeah, somebody made this bottle and somebody made this juice to put into this bottle. Yeah, same thing, for example, when it comes to this pen. Somebody made this pen. Nothing exists here in the whole of this hall, in all of this masjid, except that somebody created it. Okay, so for example, even your clothes, somebody created these things, didn't they? They didn't just come about by accident. Everything was created. It's like, for example, if you go to a museum, yeah, and you go to a museum, and that museum will tell you about some type of inventor. Maybe he's some famous inventor who invented something, or a famous painter. So they'll tell you about this famous inventor, and they'll tell you about this famous painter, but how are they going to give you more information about these people? How are they going to give you more information about who these people were, this painter and this inventor? They're going to show you what he invented. Isn't that so? They're going to show you what he made and what he created. Yeah, so same thing with a painter, for example. Yeah, a person who made lots of paintings, you'd want to know what kind of paintings he made. The same thing when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the heavens and the earth. So we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. We believe that Allah Azza wa Jal created every single thing. Okay, now when it comes to belief in Allah Azza wa Jal, when it comes to believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to look at three things. Three things, okay, that consist of our belief in Allah. Three things that make us believe that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who should be worshipped and He's the creator. And this goes back to the three categories of Tawheed. The three categories of Tawheed. Okay? Now, during the time of the companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, there weren't no categories of Tawheed. There weren't no categories of Tawheed. There were no categories of Tawheed. So why is it that we have categories of Tawheed now? And if there were no categories of Tawheed during the time of the companions, radiallahu anhum, then why do we have categories of Tawheed now? Some might say, if the companions never had categories of Tawheed, then how can we have categories of Tawheed? Why are we doing something that the companions never did, even though they knew more than us? If they knew the most about the religion, more than anybody else, and they never made categories of Tawheed, then why do we make categories of Tawheed? Anybody, can anybody tell me? Okay, very good. Yeah, so people are confused. Okay, and to put it another way, people need to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, when it came to the companions, the reason why they never had no categories of Tawheed was because they understood Tawheed. They understood Tawheed perfectly. Because who was their teacher? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, and he was the best of creation, he was the best of teachers. So there was no need for them to have different categories of Tawheed. To have different categories of Tawheed. But when it comes to us, okay, it's something that makes it easier for us to learn. So when we have these different categories of Tawheed, it makes it easier for us to understand Allah Azza wa Jal better, to understand the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why we have categories. That's why we have categories of Tawheed. Yeah. So when it comes to the categories of Tawheed, you have three categories. Three categories of Tawheed. The first category is Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. That's the first category of Tawheed. So there's three categories altogether. The first category is Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. What is Tawheed al-Uluhiyya? Tawheed al-Uluhiyya is to believe that Allah Azza wa Jal is the only one worthy of worship. So when somebody worships, he believes that there is nothing that should be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we mean when we say Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, belief that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah Azza wa Jal. So all of our acts of worship, every single act of worship that we do it purely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay, so what I want you to do now, okay, with the person next to you, yeah, with the person next to you, I want you to think of different types of worship. Think of different types of acts, different acts of worship that we can do. Okay, so I want you to go through it with your friends, yeah, come up with the person next to you, and, you know, think of different types of worship, then we'll go through, inshallah, and we'll see what you guys can come up with. Any types of worship, any acts of worship that you can think of. So I'll give you a couple of minutes for that, inshallah. Okay, so we were talking about the first category of Tawheed, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. Yeah, and we were talking about worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. That Tawheed al-Uluhiyya means that there's nothing that should be worshipped except Allah Azza wa Jal. That all acts of worship should be for the sake of Allah. So who can give me an example of an act of worship? Yeah. Hajj, very good. Yeah, somebody who performs Hajj. So a person goes with the intention of worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. So specifically when it comes to Hajj, can you tell me what is it specifically in Hajj that a person does that is an act of worship? Very good. Yeah, you go around the Kaaba, Tawaf. Yeah, so Tawaf is an act of worship. Performing Tawaf is an act of worship. Say, for example, somebody decided to do tawaf of this masjid outside. Is that an act of worship? No. Why isn't it an act of worship? Who can tell me?
Because this isn't the house of Allah.
Okay. So, tawaf can only be done around the Kaaba. Tawaf can only be done around the Kaaba. Yeah? So when a person does tawaf, he can't do tawaf around anything else. He can't do tawaf around anything else except the Kaaba. Very good. So the act of worship is tawaf. When a person does tawaf around the Kaaba. And this might sound like a very simple thing. Yeah? Of course you can't do tawaf around anything else. It's not allowed for a person to do tawaf around anything else. But you'll be surprised in how many places, okay, they do tawaf around other things other than the Kaaba. If you go to some places around the world, they've built their own Kaaba. They built their own Kaaba and they do tawaf around that Kaaba. And they say you don't need to go all the way to Mecca to perform Umrah or Hajj. Yeah, you can do tawaf here and, you know, this is an act of worship. So people, okay, don't understand. And this is a lack of knowledge. Yeah, so you can only do tawaf around the Kaaba. Very good. So that's one act of worship. Can give me another example?
When you pray.
Excellent. Yeah. When you pray, a person has been told to pray 5 times a day. And this also is an act of worship. Now you can't pray to anything except Allah Azza wa Jal. And one of the conditions, okay, one of the conditions of prayer is that he has to be purely for the sake of Allah. His intention has to be that he's praying for Allah's sake. Yeah. A condition is something that a person does before the prayer. Okay, so when it comes to conditions, it's something that is done before the prayer. And there's many conditions of salah. One of those conditions is a person's intention. He needs to be sincerely for Allah Azza wa Jal. He needs to be doing that act for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. Now when he makes that intention, he doesn't have to say anything. He doesn't have to say anything when he makes that intention. Okay? But he knows in his heart that he's praying for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very good. So the prayer is another act of worship. And it should only be done for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's good. That's good. Okay. Who can give me another act of worship? Another one. Yeah? Yeah. Very good. Reading the Quran, reading the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, that's an act of worship. A person when he sits down and he spends time with the book of Allah and the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, that is an act of worship. A person is being rewarded. He's not only worshipping Allah, okay, but he's getting reward for every single word that he recites. Every single word he recites from the book of Allah, he gets a reward. And every single letter he recites, he gets a reward. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever reads one letter, just one letter from the book of Allah, then he will get a reward. فَلَهُ بِهِ حَسَنَةً وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. And he said that that person who reads one letter of the Quran, he will get a reward that's tenfold. So 10 times that reward. So he won't get one reward, he'll get the reward 10 times over. Just for reading one letter of the book of Allah. So imagine when a person reads one whole page. Huh? Or imagine he reads one surah, you know, a long surah. Or he reads one juz of the Quran. Imagine how much reward he'll get. So not only is an act of worship, but a person's got a lot of reward when he reads the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, very good. And also when it comes to the Quran, it's also a manual for him. Yeah, it's something which guides him and makes him realize how to behave, makes him learn how to act, how to behave in this world. So he knows what to do and what not to do, and what he should do and what he shouldn't do, and how he should act and behave towards his family and towards his parents, and how he should behave towards, you know, other Muslims and even the non-Muslims, how he should act with them, how he should deal with them. So the book of Allah Azza wa Jal is something which a person needs to improve his life in this world. Very good. So the book of Allah is another type of worship. Yeah, reading the Quran. Very good. Okay, so these are just examples of types of worship. So this was the first category. The first category of Tawheed, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. Knowing that only Allah Azza wa Jal should be worshipped and all acts of worship should be for Allah. So that's the first category of Tawheed. The first category of Tawheed. Now when it comes to the second category of Tawheed, and before we move on, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, the word Uluhiyya, okay, it comes from Ilah. The word Uluhiyya comes from the word Ilah, which means God. Yeah, La ilaha illallah. Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. That there is no God worthy of worship except Allah Azza wa Jal. La ilaha illallah. So an easy way to remember, okay, is to realize Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. Uluhiyya comes from Ilah. Alif Lam Ha. Ilah. And when we think of the kalima, La ilaha illallah, that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. So Tawheed al-Uluhiyya has to do with worship and making sure all our acts of worship are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yep. Okay, so this was the first category of Tawheed. Belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. That a person's acts of worship should all be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even when it comes to, for example, prayer. Sometimes some people pray, but they don't pray for Allah azza wa jal. How is that possible? How can that be?
Like if your parent comes and you pray.
Very good. So you're not praying and then your parent comes in and you start to pray. Very good, yeah? So for example, you're not praying and then your parents might come in, and then you realize your parents are coming, and then you start to pray. Are you doing it for the sake of Allah? No, you're doing it because you're worried that if you don't pray, your parents are going to tell you off. Or for example, a person might pray, yeah, and when somebody's not watching, he'll leave his prayer or he'll stop praying. That means he's not doing it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yeah, that means he's got other reasons. Also, for example, a person might pray, and in their prayer, he might do it for other than the sake of Allah. He might do it for other reasons. So he might do it to impress somebody. Yeah? He might make his prayer longer for other than the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's not right. Because all of our acts of worship should be for Allah. Very good. So this was Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. To make sure that all of our acts of worship are purely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Very good. Okay. Now the second category of Tawheed is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Now who can tell me what Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is? Anybody know? So the first category was Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. To know that all of our acts of worship should be purely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now we're talking about the second category of Tawheed. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Yeah. No. You're close. Anybody else? Okay. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, okay, is to believe that Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator of everything in existence. So Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is to believe that Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator of every single thing in existence and that He is the sustainer of everything. What does that mean, the sustainer of everything? What that means is that He is in control of everything. So He knows everything that's taking place. So Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is to believe that Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator of everything in existence and He is the sustainer of everything. Yani He controls everything. And when it comes to the creation of Allah, we believe as Muslims that Allah Azza wa Jal created every single thing. Allah Azza wa Jal created every single thing. He created the heavens, and He created the earth, and He created the animals, and He created the mountains, and the hills, and the trees. Yeah, every single thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. And the best of the creation of Allah is us, humans. We are the greatest creation of Allah. Because Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have created man in the best of images, the best of forms. So the humans, us, we are the greatest from the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Who can tell me why humans are the best of creation? Why out of all the creation of Allah, every single thing that Allah has created, the heavens and in the heavens and in the earth, why are the humans the best of creation out of everything? Okay, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. He's made us in the best form. Okay, good. But what is it about us, okay, that makes us the best? Very good. So Allah's given us a brain. Yeah, He's given us intellect. He's given us understanding. Okay, so when it comes to humans, we have, an intellect. We have understanding, yeah? And we're not like animals, for example. Because animals, all they do is they hunt and they eat and they sleep, and that's it. That's all they do, and they fight one another. But we have been given that knowledge by Allah Azza wa Jal. We've been given the ilm. So that's why one of the reasons why we are the best of creation. We've been given this intellect. Nobody else has been given this intellect. Not like the humans. Not like the humans. Okay, very good. Yeah, Zakaria? Free will. Very good. So we've been given free will, not like, for example, the angels who only do what Allah orders them to do. Yeah, and we begin control over what we want to do. So we have a choice. We all have a choice of what we want to do. Okay, good. So when it comes to Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, it's to know that Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator and sustainer of everything in existence. So He created every single thing and He controls every single thing. That Allah Azza wa Jal is the Khaliq. He is the creator. So He created the heavens and the earth. And if you look around, okay, at the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, you can see so many of the creation. And you know, sometimes when you watch television and you watch a documentary about animals, and you see all these amazing animals on television, and you think to yourself, how is it possible that all these things could have come by themselves? Like what some people say, it doesn't make any sense. All these different types of creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, different types of animals, different types of birds, you know? So it's not possible that all of these things just came about from nothing. They all came about for a reason. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, okay, that He was the one who created the heavens and the earth, as He mentions in the Quran. So all these things Allah Azza wa Jal created. What I want you to do now, we're going to take a few minutes, and I want you to think of some of the creation of Allah and something that makes them special, something that makes them unique. So it could be a type of animal, or it could be something else, another type of creation, another thing created by Allah Azza wa Jal in the heavens or on earth. Something that Allah Azza wa Jal has created. So think of something that Allah has created and something special about that creation of Allah. Okay, and then we'll go through and see what you guys have got. Yeah, so we want to think about the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay, so I'll give you a few minutes. Talk to the person next to you. And, you know, we'll see what you have, inshallah. Something from the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Something that Allah Azza wa Jal has created. Something that maybe surprised you, yeah, or you're impressed with. Something that amazed you. Okay, who can tell me some things from the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, something that Allah created? Yeah. The puffin. The prophet. Okay, I think it's the puffin. The puffin is a creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla as well. Okay, the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla, yeah. So they were the best of creation. The prophets were the best of people. The prophets were the best of people. And Allah Azza wa Jalla chose them. Okay, Allah chose them to spread the message of Tawheed. So Allah Azza wa Jal chose the prophets to give da'wah and to call people to Islam. And it's interesting you mentioned that, because the main thing that the prophets and the messengers would call to was what? Was Tawheed. The first thing that they would call to before anything else, before being good to, you know, to your family, before dealing righteously and properly, when it comes to interactions, yeah, when a person is doing business transactions, he can't do anything wrong, he can't cheat other people, he can't steal a person's money, he can't do anything like that. But the first thing that they were told to do was to call people to Tawheed, to worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone. Very good. Yeah, so the prophets were the best of creation. Okay, the planets. Yeah, the planets, all the planets were created by Allah Azza wa Jal. Did you say planets?
Plants.
Okay, plants. Planets and plants. Yeah, very good. Plants. So all the plants, the different types of plants that Allah Azza wa Jal has created. And from those plants, you know, we get vegetables and we get food from those plants as well. Yeah. So Allah Azza wa Jal has made all of these things as a mercy for us. He's created all, He didn't have to create all these things. But He created these things as a sign to show that Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator of every single thing and as a mercy for us. Yeah, all these different types of food that Allah Azza wa Jal has made for us. Very good. So plants on earth, yeah, we get all our fruits and all our vegetables from these plants. So that's a blessing from Allah. All our onions and our potatoes, yeah, and our apples, all from the plants of Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay, good, yeah.
Animals.
Okay, different types of animals. Different types of animals. And Allah mentions in the Quran that we have created some animals that have four legs, some animals that have two, and some animals that crawl on their bellies. Different types of animals. Yeah. So Allah Azza wa Jal has created all these different types of animals. Now, why has He created animals? Why has He created animals? Okay, very good. To give us food. Yeah, to give us food. And also as a sign. As a sign. So if a person wants to know about Allah Azza wa Jal, then he looks at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like we mentioned, remember we mentioned about a painter. If a person wants to know about a painter and about an artist, what do? We go onto the internet, we go onto Google, and we want to see what kind of pictures he's made, what kind of artwork he's done, to get a better idea of that person, what he was like, how good was his artwork. Same thing with Allah Azza wa Jal. To know Allah, we look at His creation. So we look at all the amazing creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the plants, all the different types of animals. Yeah. When it comes to animals, who can give me some animals that are like, you know, unique, or animals from the animals of Allah, things that Allah has created from the animals? Yeah.
Birds, because they have the ability
to fly. Okay, very good. So birds that have the ability to fly. So Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who keeps those birds in the sky. You know, Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is in control of every single thing. And when it comes to the birds, He's given them the ability to fly. And even these birds are different types of birds. There's not just one type of bird. Allah has made so many different types of birds. Eagles and owls and pigeons and all these different types of birds. And even up till now, they're discovering different types of animals and different types of birds. Very good. Yeah.
Like sheep to give us like wool.
Very good. Yeah. So sheep, and with those sheep, we get their wool and we make clothing out of those, out of that wool that we collect. So that's another blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, we manage to make clothing from the wool of a sheep. Excellent. Very good. Can you give me another example? Another example of from the animals of Allah. Yeah.
You get clothes from a lion.
Okay, very good. So fur is another way of, you know, another thing that we use to get clothing. Keeps us warm. Yeah, very good.
Cow's meat.
Okay, the cow's meat, the beef from the cow, and also the milk from the cow as well. Very good. Excellent, mashallah. Fish, different types of fish. Allah has created all these different types of fish. The great, you know, the blue whale and all these different types of fish, large fish and small, tiny fish. Yeah, very good. So Allah has created all these different types of animals for us as a sign for us and also something that we can benefit from, something that we can learn from. Okay, anything else? Any other types of creation? Maybe somebody had some other types of creation of Allah. Sorry? Very good. Yeah, penguins. And they live, you know, in really cold places. And Allah Azza wa Jal has made them, designed in such a way that they can survive the cold. They can look after themselves. Even though they live in freezing places. The water is freezing cold and there's ice everywhere. There's ice everywhere and the water's ice cold. And if any of us went swimming in really cold water, we'd freeze. We wouldn't be able to survive. And the penguins, they can survive. Why can they? How can they survive? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla has created them that way. Yeah, Allah has given them the ability to survive in those conditions. Very good. Okay, a cheetah, not the one who cheats in these exams. Okay, a cheetah, the creation of Allah, the animal, the one who has the ability to run really, really fast. That's from the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. He's given him the ability to be able to run. Yeah. So these are all from the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this was the second category. So the first category, who can remember? Who can tell me the first category? What was the first category that we mentioned? The first category of Tawheed? Sorry? Okay, remember what it was in Arabic? Who remembers the Arabic wording? Yeah? Very good. Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. That all of our acts of worship should be for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then we talked about the second category. What was the second category? Anybody remember?
Tawheed al-Rububiyya.
Tawheed al-Rububiyya. Where does Tawheed al-Uluhiyya come from? What word does Uluhiyya come from?
Ilah.
Ilah. La. And then the second word, Ilaha. Ilaha means God. So there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. La ilaha illallah. So Tawheed al-Uluhiyya comes from? The Uluhiyya comes from the word Ilah. So it's an easy way for you to remember. That Tawheed al-Uluhiyya has to do with making sure all of our acts of worship are for Allah. Tawheed al-Rububiyya. Al-Rububiyya comes from Rabb. Al-Rububiyya. Rabb. Yeah, which means Lord. So we believe in Tawheed al-Rububiyya, in that category. And that category means that we realize that Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator and sustainer of every single thing in existence. That's the second category of Tawheed. The third category of Tawheed, the third and final category of Tawheed, is Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat. Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat, which is knowing and believing in the names and attributes of Allah. So Allah Azza wa Jal has many, many names. Why does He have so many names? Because something that's important is given lots of names. So for example, in the Arabic language, the word sword has over 500 names for that word, because they feel as if it's something very important, you know, amongst them. So they've given it 500 names. And other things, they've given lots of names. So the more important something is, yeah, the more the more importance they give something, they give it lots and lots of names. And the same thing with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah has many names. And the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah Azza wa Jal has 99 names. Whoever memorizes and learns and understands those 99 names, he will enter paradise. Whoever learns those names will enter paradise. So Allah has many, many names. And the best name is Allah. That's the best name of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then you have other names like Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin. All these are the names of Allah. And they're mentioned in the Qur'an, in different places in the Qur'an. Now when it comes to these names, they give Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, a better description. So we can understand Allah Azza wa Jal better. So we know, for example, when we say Al-Khaliq, that Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator. Because Khaliq means the creator. And when we say Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the most merciful and the most gracious, we know that Allah Azza wa Jal is the most merciful and He is the most graceful, He is the most gracious. So we recognize Allah Azza wa Jal by using these names. And also we can use these names when we make dua. When a person supplicates to Allah and he makes dua, he can use these names. And he'll have more, his dua will have more chance of being answered if he uses the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so these are the categories of Tawheed that we wanted to mention, and belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. So the first thing we want to talk about today was belief in Allah. And belief in Allah, you have to look at three categories, okay, of the oneness of Allah. Tawheed, yeah? Tawheed has three categories. Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, Tawheed al-Rububiyya and Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat. Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat. And al-Asma wa-Sifat, Asma means names. Asma means names. Wa-Sifat, Sifat means attributes. Yeah. So for example, when we say Bismillah, what does that mean? In the name of Allah. So ism means name. Ism means name. And asma is the plural of ism. So it's more than one. Asma is names. So that's the last category of Tawheed. Belief in the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So we believe that Allah is the creator. Yeah, and he's Al-Ghani, he is the most rich and the most wealthy, and all the other different names of Allah Azza wa Jal. So these are the three categories of Tawheed, and this is what we want to talk about today, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Should we take some questions, inshallah? We'll take some questions. If anybody has any questions, then inshallah I'll answer them. Anybody got any questions about anything today? Any questions at all about Tawheed? About Allah Azza wa Jal.
Can you give some examples of some attributes?
Okay, some of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Can anybody give me any examples? So we have names of Allah and we have attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yeah?
All-knowing.
Okay, very good. All-knowing. Yeah, so you have names of Allah Azza wa Jal, and also you have attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. And these attributes, okay, when it comes to the names of Allah, they're mentioned in the Quran. The names of Allah Azza wa Jal are mentioned in the Quran. And the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, some are mentioned in the Quran, and some aren't. Yeah, so there are many, many names of Allah Azza wa Jal and many attributes. Have you got any idea of any attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal? Okay, very good. So, it's for example, the things which describe Allah Azza wa Jal. So you have the names of Allah and you have the attributes. So for example, we know that Allah Azza wa Jal has a hand. We know that Allah Azza wa Jal has a face. We know that Allah Azza wa Jal has a face. And the greatest reward for a believer on the Day of Judgment is to be able to see Allah Azza wa Jal in paradise. That's the greatest reward that anybody will ever have. Can you imagine seeing Allah Azza wa Jal himself, seeing his beautiful face? But when it comes to these things, believing that Allah Azza wa Jal has a hand, believing that he has a face, believing, for example, that he has a shin, Allah Azza wa Jal has a shin, and we know that. But those things, okay, that Allah Azza wa Jal possesses, and these attributes that Allah Azza wa Jal has, they're not like the faces of his creation. And his hands aren't like the hands of the creation. For example, when it comes to faces, is an elephant's face the same as a snake's face? No, it's different, isn't it? The way it's made and the way it looks is totally different. Is an ant's face the same as a peacock's face? No, it's totally different. There's different types of faces. Yeah. And even when it comes to hands, yeah, the hands, for example, of a lizard or the feet of a lizard will be different to the feet of an elephant. Yeah. So when it comes to the creation, if the faces of the creation of Allah are different, then what about when it comes to the one who created all of these things? What about when it comes to the creator himself? So these things, okay, are unique to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he possesses these things, he has these things, he has a face, but when it comes to his face, okay, we don't know exactly how it looks, what it looks like. And it's a way in whatever befits his majesty. So however Allah Azza wa Jal wants his face to be, that's how it will be. Yeah, it's made and it's created in a way in whichever way Allah Azza wa Jal wants it to be created and wants his face to be. Yeah. For example, Allah says in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Allah Azza wa Jal. There's nothing like him. So you can't compare him to the creation, because that's what we're going to do, aren't we? If we try to compare him with something, we're going to compare him with the creation. And Allah Azza wa Jal is nothing like the creation, because he is the creator. Okay? Very good. Any more questions? Any more questions? No more questions. Okay, that means either you understood everything or you didn't understand anything at all for the whole hour. Huh? Okay. Should we wrap it up then? Okay, so inshallah, that's the end of today's talk. Belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. Next week, we're going to be talking about belief in the angels. What are the angels? So we're going to be talking about that next week, inshallah. And I'm hoping to see you all next week so we can discuss that. Jazakumullah khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wasalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.